Welcome, great patriotic friends, to July 28th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because I am a proud patriotic American. And hopefully one of the reasons you're listening is because you are also a proud patriotic American. The show is in part brought to you by TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. That's my wife, by the way. That's right. America's finest city, San Diego, California. Should you decide to move or vacation here, make sure you give Teresa a call at 619-507-4906. And let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. So let's everybody stand up. Let's face the flags and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice, very nice. And now on to today's program. We'll wish a happy birthday to Jackie Kennedy Onassis. A happy birthday to Earl Tupper. Yeah, he made Tupperware. The Battle of Ezra Church. FDR announces the end of coffee rations. And Lockheed's SR-71 Blackbird flies 85,000 horizontal feet altitude. So now let's do this. 1929. Happy birthday, Jackie Kennedy Onassis. She was born to a wealthy family in New York. Her dad was a stockbroker, nicknamed Blackjack. She graduated from George Washington University in 1951 and began a career as the inquiring camera girl for the Washington Times Herald. She met JFK when he was a Massachusetts senator, and the two married on September 12, 1953, at St. Mary's Church in Newport, Rhode Island. She raised two children in the White House and restored the building to historic conditions. 1961. Happy birthday, Dr. Scott Peresinski. NASA thanks you for your service. Check this out. 5 space shuttle flights and 7 spacewalks. It isn't about making it to the top, he says. It's about making the round trip. I suppose that's why space just wasn't big enough for him. So on May 20th, 2009, Scott Peresinski became the only astronaut to summit Mount Everest. When he reached the top, he left behind a moon rock that was collected by the crew of Apollo 11. So class, for extra credit, scale Mount Everest and see if you can find that rock. Thank you. In Civil War news, 1864, Battle of Ezra Church. William T. Sherman and Oliver Otis Howard v. John B. Hood. The result was a Union victory. Otherwise known as the Battle of the Poorhouse, it was part of the Atlanta Campaign. In fact, it was the third shot that Hood took to break through Sherman's hold on Atlanta. That's right. After Army of the Tennessee commander Joseph Johnston was unable to keep Sherman from Atlanta, Hood replaced Johnston on July 18th. On July 20th, Hood couldn't get past Sherman at the Battle of Peachtree Creek, nor would he succeed against the Yankees at the Battle of Atlanta. So Hood decided to take Sherman from the south. Now that Georgia Railroad was cut, Sherman ordered Major General Howard and the Army of the Tennessee to the Macon and Western Railroads. According to NPS.gov, Howard moved from the left wing to the right and cut Hood's last railroad supply line between East Point and Atlanta. Surprise! Not really. Hood foresaw such a maneuver and determined to send the two corps of Lieutenant Generals Stephen D. Lee and General Alexander P. Stewart to intercept and destroy the Union force. All right. But instead of attacking the flank, Lee went for the center. Howard saw it coming on the afternoon of July 28th at Ezra Church. And Howard was able to entrench one of his corps in the way of the Confederates' path and used whatever he had, church pews, logs, and rails, to repulse Hood's army. On a side note, according to the U.S. Army of the Military History, another notable participant was Ernst R. Torgler, a 24-year-old sergeant in the 37th Ohio Infantry, who was later awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions during the battle. Torgler saved the life of his commanding officer, Major Charles Hipp. His citation reads, in part, "At great hazard of his life, he saved his commanding officer, then badly wounded, from capture." 1943, great news. FDR announces the end of coffee rationing in the U.S. 1976, USAF Captain Robert Heltz and Major Larry Elliott fly the Lockheed SR-71 Blackbird 85,000 horizontal altitude. In the late 1950s, the Skunk Tank was the name of Lockheed's finest engineering team. They designed the SR-71, which had many cool features at a time before computer-aided design. Drag-induced surface heat of more than 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit at Mach 3 sparked a revolution in design, according to AirForceMag.com. 90% of the surface of the Blackbird was titanium alloy, and it developed special hydraulic fluids and lubricants and sealants. On July 28, 1976, at Buell Air Force Base in California, the SR-71 set the FAI record for altitude in horizontal flights at 85,068 feet, which, by the way, is twice the Boeing 747 cruising altitude of 35,000 feet. Just saying. And that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for July 28th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. Anything you care to add, for example, to the Jackie Onassis Kennedy story? Have you ever been to a Tupperware party? Civil War buffs, what's your take on the Battle of Ezra Church? Garfield fans, I believe I started reading that comic strip back in 1978. That is one old cat. Does Linda Ronstadt make your heart melt as she does mine? So definitely let me know what you think. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Carl Lewis, Belle Boyd, Lou Brock, as well as a couple deep state stories, including the Council of Foreign Relations and the Bohemia Club. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can check me out on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you then.